Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot Sad Foot, your LAFC gateway drug and the only LAFC podcast that got a side gig doing Photoshop for the Royal Palace. I'm Travis Helwig.
I'm Vince LaRosa.
And I'm Darren Miller. Welcome to our preview of LAFC's MLS match against Minnesota United on Saturday, March 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Allianz Field in St. Paul, Minnesota. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV Plus, where all matches are free this weekend.
Wow.
I have no idea why. And, of course, we'll be live streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot.
Later in the show, we'll play a game about the Twin Cities, and, of course, we'll have our storylines of the week and make some bets. But first, you know it, you love it. You guys mandated it once right when we started the podcast that no one has really said much about it at all since. It's time for listener-mandated banter.
Do they still ask for it?
Look, they're demanding. They're knocking down our doors.
Okay.
Saying we want
I
you guys
out the window right now.
I mean, I'll start out right up top and just disclose I didn't get the royal photoshopping joke until after Darren was laughing, and then I was like, oh yeah. So I was really slow on the uptake on that one.
I mean, have you been? Look, this is every water cooler conversation for the last week. Is she dead? Did she try to kill herself? Is she in hiding? Are they getting a divorce? Did she take Ozempic and they had to take her butthole out? What's going on with Kate Middleton?
I've definitely seen
cryptic tweets. I mean, I've seen like things, but I don't care. So I don't know exactly what's going on. But then every once in a while, I'll see a tweet that's like, Harry flew to meet with Charles because you can't text because those can be hacked. So they had to have a face-to-face meeting, which means like something bad is happening. And I'm like, who's Harry and Charles? Oh, so I was like slow on those ones too, but I've seen them.
Someone told me that there were one of the rumors was that she was getting a BBL.
I think, look.
In England?
And yeah, you can't trust in England. An EBL?
An EBL.
An EBL. Yeah. A Barclays EBL.
the B was for British the first time.
Oh, fair. Right. Look. I know that this isn't what people want from us, so we don't have to talk about it much. But I am fully invested. So if you're a listener who – yes, because I loved The Crown. I don't give a shit about the royal family, but The Crown made me into like the inner workings of like how they manipulate the press and stuff. Okay. And it's so weird how this has been trickling out that it – like they're bad at lying. And that's what's really fun about it. Like – the fact that they blamed her for photoshopping her own photo is truly so fucking fun. Like, they just threw her under the bus, which if she was going to remain princess, they wouldn't fucking do. They wouldn't throw her under the bus. So that's just something to think about, guys. Just three straight men talking about this.
She could just want to recover from surgery in peace.
Yeah. Shut up, Darren.
That's the boring answer. You know what? I'm into it too, but I just love a good Photoshop scandal.
And Travis, yeah. I get it. This is America where if an ambulance shows up, you're terrified and you run away because you don't want to pay for it. Yeah. But maybe in England, that's just how you get taken to surgery.
Yeah, they're
that's
like
true. It's free.
Yeah, you can just take an ambulance like an Uber. You can just call 911 when you got to go somewhere.
It's true. They take you wherever you want. And it's free. It's a good way to save money.
She had to get to her sister's house, Pippa. All right, that's enough.
Travis got to say Pippa, so now we can move
on. Pippa. What a good name, Pippa. Let's start the show, Darren, and I hope you changed it.
I don't have an intro. Listen, okay, I'm just going to level with people. There's no pre-written intro this time. I'm just going to explain what the hell's going on here, okay? I love LAFC, but we started this podcast because Travis loves LAFC and also knows everything there is to know about LAFC because he's not very busy. Let's just be honest, right? Like, I have
what about that intro makes
job.
You think I'm not busy? What?
He's only following something about monarchy,
right.
That means
yes.
Nothing, but that's okay.
Not only is he obsessed with the British monarchy, in fact, that's his leftover time. That's how much time he has to spend every week obsessing over everything there is to know about LAFC, which is great. I love it. I don't have time to do it. I wish I could. I wish my life was as leisurely as Travis's. But I have an incredibly important job and a family and, you know, like a house and, you know, just like everyone's dream life is what I have. And it just like weighs very heavy on me, you know. So there's just a lot to do to keep up with that. And it's just a lot more important than whatever sports team we're talking about, you know. So every week, Travis and Vince, who knows even more than Travis, happen to be talking to me about what's going on with LAFC. So why not have them tell everyone and we record it and everybody else can know what the hell's going on in this upcoming match, but on such a much deeper level that you're going to be able to enjoy the game so much more in a segment we call Storylines.
You know, Darren, we could find a happy medium where you outline it. You know, got the bullet points. Darren, Vince, Dince, it's been almost a month into the 2024 MLS season, and I think we can all agree that means it's time to make wild generalizations about the quality of the team. Enough
Absolutely.
Of this patience bullshit. It's time to have insane takes that we're going to regret within 72 hours. And that brings me to the first storyline of the match, which is this. Are we mid? LAFC has not scored in the last two of our three games. Despite having plenty of chances against Kansas City last weekend, our best attacking talent, Denny Bouanga, has not scored this season. And our passing, outside of some beautiful work by Atuesta and our second best passer, Hugo Lloris, often feels predictable and a bit boring. I like to remove the H sometimes from Hugo. Honestly,
I think you're supposed to.
Is it? Is it in French you remove? It's
yeah,
different for different people.
So.
Correct.
Honestly, if it wasn't for the incredible goalkeeping of Hugo Lloris, but I'm going to put the L's, but I'm only going to make Hugo French, but I'm going to say Lloris, like I'm saying ranch dressing.
Lloris.
If it wasn't for Hugo Lloris, I think there'd be a good chance that we could have lost all three games at this point if it wasn't for his incredible goalkeeping. And it's not the best sign for our starting 11, that everyone's favorite moment for our game against Kansas City was when our bench player came on, Martinez, with 10 minutes left in the game and just ran really fast and then missed a shot. That means, and also our current roster only has one designated player. And if you saw the match day roster card, we had like five or six fewer players on our roster than Sporting Kansas City, which means our team is a real work in progress. The only problem is it's a work in progress while the games matter. That said, word came down today from our good friend Tom Ambogart, the Woj. Ambogart. It's all like saying hamburger. Ambogart of the Latetic. I'm trying to say L apostrophe athletic.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
La Tetique. La Tétique, Ombegue from La Tétique, the Woj of MLS, who said that Dan Garber, you can't say Woj in French.
The Woj.
Le Woj. who said Don Garber is considering a conscious uncoupling of the designated player slot from the U22 initiative. All that you need to know about that, because that's somewhat complicated, is that now we will be able to use all three of our designated player slots however we want. It's not official yet, but that's potentially going to happen this summer. And more importantly, that means Vince gets to stop explaining to people on Twitter that we can't use that third slot the way that you think we should. But that brings us to a new question, and it rhymes with Marlos Mella. It is now possible that we could give Carlos Vela DP money now and still bring on someone exciting attacking player this summer. The question is, do we think Vela right now is a fix that is worth that DP slot? I tweeted that out, and let me just say, my mentions were angry at each other. Could it be possible that we don't know whether or not he belongs in a DP slot? Darren, my first question, did I sound cool and young when I said the word mid at the beginning of this?
More so than I did when I tried it last season, if that one still haunts me. So I think that you're in an okay spot, but still the correct answer is yes. I mean, sorry.
No.
Did you sound cool? The correct answer is no.
Okay, great. Follow up to that important question. Would you be open to using, now that we think we might have two DP slots that we can use however we want in the summer, would you be open to paying Carlos more and putting him in that slot for one season? Or do you still think he's a max TAM guy?
Is this to me?
Mm-hmm.
You're the tactics guy.
I thought you were going to say, would you be open to using mid, like officially deciding officially we're going to use mid as a show. I think we can get caught up in all the technicalities of it, but like if we've assembled the roster that we want, that we think is good, and that means that he's in that particular slot, I will be happy. I guess that means that like that's a slot we can't fill in the summer window or whatever, the next window, whatever it is. But I would like to just have the best team possible. And if that's how the chips fall, I don't think it's – you could be splitting hairs and missing out on a lot.
Vince, what do you think about the new extra slot? Do you think Vela is worthwhile or should we hold off?
So there's a couple things to take into consideration. One is like Carlos hasn't done anything for the past whatever, 3 months, two and a half plus.
He went skiing. He did go skiing, and that takes some like hip mobility.
True. Although who knows how much skiing he does. One of my favorite Carlos Vela social media videos is his wife and him on a ski lift and him being like, of all the places you could go on vacation, you go somewhere hot, you go to the beach, you go this, you come to the snow. And she's just like laughing the whole time because he clearly hates the snow. Like he's like, there's no world would you go on, purposely go on vacation to a cold place. Like it doesn't equate in his mind.
There was a video before the season started of him getting off a plane in Denver, and it turned out they were going to Aspen, but everyone was like, he's going to the Rapids. We know he's going to the Rapids.
That's funny.
So considering that he would need to get it fit, like that would be one thing. But I think one of the things that people are missing is it's not so much that like spots and like, yeah, opening up spots would be nice. But I think that LAFC doesn't exactly have the money to buy, because you still get a cap hit. Like keep in mind, you can pay Carlos Vela $20 million, but you still get a cap hit of like $635,000. I feel like LAFC might not have that per se, or might be holding on to it in hopes that something might happen in the summer. So I think that's the bigger thing with Vela. And so that's why I would say no. And then my last thing would be like, when you talk about mid teams to me are ones that can't even create chances. There's a lot of teams in MLS that can't even create chances, let alone score goals. So for me, yes, it would have been nice to have Carlos in that game, have a little bit of extra quality. But the fact that LAFC can at least create chances means I don't think it's as dire as we need to all of a sudden be like, just give Carlos all the money.
I want you to know my follow-up question was, I know you'll never say a single bad thing about this team. Why are we not mid? And you got right to it. I didn't have to ask you. we're all playing our roles here.
Carlos Vela sounds fun. Sure.
My role is tell everyone it's really bad. And Vince's role is to say it's not that bad. And then everyone yells at Vince, even though he's almost always right. I get to be the kid.
Honestly, even to take it farther, like, yes, David Martinez was really fun and that moment was really fun. That was not the coolest moment. The coolest moment was the interchange between Tillman, Bogusch, and Atuesta that created that chance in the 12th minute. If you
you're right.
An LFC that's very good, if they can do that more often, hell yeah, I'm all about that.
And that moment, I think, set back Martinez starting a couple of games, because I think that little flash of Tillman and Atuesta working well together, you know, I think Martinez is probably going to end up in the starting lineup. He looks ready based on that one interaction. But if they can get that sort of synergy going, I don't think you can stop that midfield from starting at the moment. But because we are horny for goals here at Happy Foot Sad Foot, and the team has decided we are practicing tantric goal scoring in 2024, I thought, why not keep the massive overreacting going with our second storyline of the match, Vince and Darren Dince, which is this. Is it time to worry about Kike Oliveira? I don't know about you two, but I've noticed some rumblings in our comments on YouTube and on Twitter that Kike maybe is the new, I don't want to say it, the name that he who shall not be named, another Uruguayan player or Uruguayan player who once played for LAFC. And it's true. Christian Oliveira has not had a great time, has not done a great job finishing in his time with the team. He's 21 years old, and since joining LAFC in the second half of last year, if you include the playoffs, he's got 2 goals in 18 games, which isn't terrible, but isn't what you'd want from a guy in the starting, you know, he's a forward. That's what I'm trying to say. He's a forward.
Yep, you got that. Nailed it.
Okay, good. We're all on the same. You guys know he's a forward. However, he does have 19 shots on target, 6 of which have been this year. And I think that those 6 shots on target are why he started to raise some eyebrows, because while they were on target, they were not necessarily on target, if you know what I mean. But it is worth pointing out that there is a big difference between Kike and he who shall not be named. And that's that Kike is not a designated player. So he isn't taking up one of those coveted roster spots. And honestly, my guess is that come summer, he might be our 3rd or 4th attacking option before the window closes. All that said, I'm not personally sure that this frustration with Kike passes the eye test, because at this point last year, we were all excited about a young man named Stipe Buke. And I think if we were all to ask ourselves today which of the U22 players we'd rather have on the ball in the final third, I don't think there's a single person listening that would choose Stipe Buke over Kike Oliveira. And in my opinion, the guy can play. He finds himself in the right spots. He's getting opportunities. I think if we see one go in for him, we might see a bunch more to follow. He's just still a kid trying to make it work. He's shown us he has the ability to do everything besides that final touch. And even though our old pal Fufu Krastev had 2 goals with LAFC in the same amount of time that he was there last season, I think eye test wise, Kike almost seemed better than Fufu in most of those games, although I do miss Fufu. Vince, I know you're going to say that people shouldn't be angry with Oliveira. I saw you nodding along with some of what I said. But what do you think has been missing from his game? Why can't he finish in the way that we need from a second option?
I mean, if I knew the answer to that question and he knew the answer, I mean, the easy answer to that question is it's like, that's the hardest thing. That's the last thing that comes, right? And he has a lot of the package leading up to that. He has the speed, the athleticism, the dribbling ability. I would say one thing that people are missing, and obviously in a 0-0 game, you're not really concerned about it, but like there's a lot he does off the ball too. Pressing, that's why like when people are saying put Martinez in there, I don't think Martinez, regardless of if he can do it, knows how to do it yet, because it's not just like you can just understand LAFC's defensive system and where you're supposed to be. But yeah, it really just comes down to it. Like that's the hardest thing to do in sports. It's a sport where literally there's like 3 goals scored per game. And I would say if he ends up putting that cross in where he's like just a second late, we're not even talking about this. Or even if someone scores in general, we're probably not really blaming Kike Oliveira, because he does, honestly, when you say the eye test, you watch him and you're like, he's still doing a lot of stuff, unlike some of the other players that like we were not so keen on, because it was like, well, what else do they do in the game? So I think you got to cut him some slack. Now, if this is May, June, and he's still got like a goal, then yes, we should be very concerned.
Darren, do you think it's fair to use the B-Rod slur?
I wish I knew exactly how long Brian Rodriguez was Brian Rodriguez for. Like, what was that stretch?
We had him for a year and a half. And he was just like a level of frustration. He practiced tantric goal scoring the whole time he was with us.
Yeah, he never reached like a height where you were.
I also remember
Galaxy game. One time in a Galaxy game, he scored two goals, and he scored probably the greatest goal in LAFC history with a dribble against Galaxy. But otherwise,
he got like tangled up in knots a lot. I remember like he would kind of like dribble into other people and then be like fighting on a 50-50 ball that he created that it was all his before.
Yeah, he would.
I think the moments were a lot more frustrating.
And yeah, then be like, I got to beat the fourth
because you right. got it.
Like, and it's kind of like if Denny Bwanga didn't even get the shot off and did that and would dribbled into the defense and then just kind of like dribbled around and lost it, like that would feel so much more frustrating. It would be more like B-Rod. It would feel more like a lot worse than Kike. Kike's, like Vince said, like he still gets that last shot off and it's like it's off. It just feels like he's closer to getting it.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it besides the vibes are different. It is like I'm a vibes guy when it comes to sports, and I know people are frustrated that we can't score right now. I would be more frustrated with Denny Bwanga personally because we know that the ability's there. And we've watched him sort of like force some shots because he knows the has, I think, made the best of. Well, he's made good with his chances. The chances just aren't falling. And I think I do have faith that this isn't a situation like a B-Rod or a Stipe Buke. But what do I know? Hopefully he doesn't listen. That's what Jeff Talk's so worried about this podcast getting into the ears of players who barely speak English. And that brings us, it does, what we just said isn't a transition. And that brings us to the final storyline of this week's match, which is this. Is Minnesota actually the top of the West, or is it just a mirage from early in the season? So far this season, the Loons are tied for first in the West with 7 points, undefeated with 2 wins and a draw. Last week, they beat Orlando, who everyone had pegged as a potential Supporter Shield favorite, despite their atrocious showing in the Champions Cup. And the week before, Minnesota beat Austin, a team who we can never tell is actually good or bad. Pookie, and I don't mean the guy on TikTok who likes his wife's outfits, leads Minnesota United with 2 goals. Over the years, Minnesota and LAFC have been pretty even when they play. In our previous 10 matchups, the only 10 matchups we had with them, we have tied them 50% of the time. The other 50, we won 3 and lost 2. Last time we played them in October, though, Bwanga did score a hat trick in the first half, and Fufu Krastev scored a goal and hit the gritty like we know he does. Vince, tell us about Minnesota. What players do we need to know? How do they play?
So if you are like Travis and wondering what a lot of people are wondering, is Minnesota good? You're not alone. And I think we're all still kind of in that boat. And I think what a lot of us forget, and maybe it's just because of the modern like discourse around this sport now, is like, it's tactics. Like, look, after every game, we go on our post game and you guys look at me and go, Vince, was there some different tactics? And people are like, I just don't know if Steve's doing the right tactics. I'm like, guys, it's not tactics. Like, not everything is tactics. Tactics is just like a minuscule part of the game. And what Minnesota has done well is they've just rallied around the fact that they've had nothing but adversity to start the season. Like, they literally, their head coach, the guy that they just hired, who was an assistant coach at Manchester United, this might be his first game. They started the season without a head coach. And somehow they managed, and on top of it, their star player, Reynoso, was still in Argentina, and they did not know when he was going to show up. Now, he has eventually shown up, but he's injured. And really what they've done is, honestly, they've just rallied around each other. Like, their team vibes right now. They're just a bunch of dudes that, like, there's some good players in there. Like, Pookie's a good player. He's an advantageous player. But, like, they're not really doing anything special more than, like, they're just really playing for each other right now. And they're taking advantage of teams when teams are making mistakes. And, like I said, Pookie's a decent finisher, but not really special elsewhere. And that's where they've gotten good. Like, they're just running at teams that maybe early in the season are more prone to make mistakes. And they're taking advantage of those mistakes. So I think where you're looking at Minnesota and thinking, like, well, what do I need to know about them? Just know this. Without Reynoso, which it does seem like they'll be without for at least against LAFC and maybe for the foreseeable future, they're a team that's going to be much more proactive in terms of off the ball. Like, they're going to run and they're going to get at you. They're going to press you deep in your end. That's not something they would do so much with Reynoso, whereas they used to like to sit back and then pass it to the incredible Argentine man and see if he could create some magic. They're a little bit more industrious now. So expect them to really run after LAFC. And they've got some young guys that can do it. So that's like the biggest thing to worry about. Can they hold that? Can they do that for a season? Will their new coach even think that that's what they want to do? I don't know. But we'll, I guess against LAFC, we'll probably see more of them just trying to like muck up the game and really try to press and take advantage of mistakes.
Darren, equally important question. Have you ever been to Minnesota?
Definitely not. And I don't plan to start now. Wait, but also, Vince, can you catch me up on the coach situation? Why was there the gap in the coach?
So they fired Adrian Heath, who had been there forever, and they probably should have fired him long before they did. But then they just kind of went the offseason, and I don't know, maybe somebody forgot to check their reminder about hiring a coach, but they just did not hire a coach. Oh, honestly.
Wait, they didn't hire him, and then he took something happened so he couldn't show up in time? They just didn't hire him in time?
He was honestly officially announced, I think, about 2 weeks ago, and when he was announced was a couple days before Manchester United was playing Manchester City. So there was no chance he was going to leave before that game. And so now that game has been played out and he was able to leave. He was in Minnesota when they played the game against Orlando. He didn't go to the game just because the assistant coach had done so much, or the interim coach that's now an assistant coach had prepared the team. And I think out of respect for him, he didn't go. But I couldn't find for sure, but it does seem like he will be there and will be on the bench for them this game against LAFC.
I got to tell you, Vince, you're making me root for them. I want them to beat us now. All these things, like, yeah, this sounds cool. Rad.
They got depth in the coach position.
Their jerseys have stars on it. That's cool. They're like weird galaxies. Well, those are our storylines for this week's match. And when we come back, we're going to play a game about the Twin Cities with Darren's twin children.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And we're back. So we've heard about the storylines leading up to the match, but the takes just weren't hot enough, okay? It's time to cut the bullshit and get the hot takes on the matchup that everyone's really here to see. Here? Really here to hear?
Yeah.
I don't know. That everyone's really here for. And because Minnesota United represents the Twin Cities, I've decided to poll the best experts there are for this occasion, my twin children. So we're going to play a game here. Travis, Vince, Trents.
Oh, no. No.
Travis.
Both Trince and Dince sound like slurs. I know that they're not, but they do sound like slurs.
Travis sounds like a thing that you see a commercial for the medicine for.
Travis.
I have like mild to severe Travis. So I asked these top analysts some of our most burning questions. And I got their answer. So I'm going to play them for you. And then what we're going to do is I want each of you to take a side as well and maybe say a few more words than they say because they don't know how to say words yet. Which team do you think has the better new uniforms? The better kits? LAFC or Minnesota? The blue one. The Starry Night kit? Yeah. It's kind of tough to compete with space when you're a kid. What do you like about this one?
No, it's blue.
Yeah, blue.
Yeah,
okay.
Blue.
Okay.
So both kids said blue, which is Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one to start off. I don't know how they were ever going to win that one. That's probably the best kit for if you're a kid. But what do you guys think?
For a hot second there, I thought when you said, well, what else? I can't tell which kid it was, but I thought they were going to say no notes. And I was like, oh my God, your kid is hilarious. Like, that's great. Blue, no notes. Like, yeah. If that's they what pull they're out saying,
a chart, like, this is the A tier. This is the S tier. I mean, I think your kids are right. I think that kid is cool. Like, I know it's, I actually think ours is good and it's grown on me a lot, but it's such a swing. I guess it has nothing to do with Minnesota. I guess there's the Northern Lights there sometimes. Is that what it is?
Is there?
Yeah. Look, I understand why the kids love it and I get it, but I actually disagree. I don't think their kid's cool at all. Like, they're like, if you're going to like stars, yeah, that's cool, which is why kids like it, which I guess maybe this is meant for toddlers, but you know, if you're an adult, like, you can't just put stars on the kit and be like, it's good. Like, it stylize is. It or something. Like, it's literally like a, did they look up Google search, like, galaxy, and then just, like, put it on a kit? Like,
I wonder if the wrong team
to search.
Yeah, the galaxy were mad afterwards, I bet. It does remind me of, there was, like, those leggings that girls wore, like, 10 years ago that had stars all over them. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's exact same pattern.
That's the, like, maybe MLM team.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it is an MLM scheme, right? What is that called?
It's a pyramid scheme. It's LuLaRoe.
Yeah. LuLaRoe. All right.
I agree.
Let's start number two.
It sucks. That is crazy, though, that their kit is another team. I didn't even think about that till now. It's like if you put a giant Red Bull on your kit.
I was going to say it would be like if we had a Dynamo on our kit.
Of course, everyone can picture that in their heads now.
Right. Yes. Okay. The better joke. Dynamo.
Which team's star player has the better sounding name? Timu Puki or Denny Buonga?
The second one.
Second one? Jackson?
Denny Buonga.
Denny Buonga?
Denny Buonga.
Can you take that out of your mouth? Try again.
Denny Buonga.
Denny Pierogi?
Buonga.
I think one of your kids is smarter than your other kid, Darren. I just need you to know that. I think there's a real learning curve.
I also heard
both
Pierogi.
Eventually said Buonga. Yeah, that's weird, right?
I also heard Pierogi, and I love that when you were like Buonga, all of a sudden the one kid shines through and just goes Buonga. Like, I know the name. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. Also, they're wrong.
I didn't just
Timu
hear you
Puki
say it. I knew
is a better name. Timu Puki is a way better name.
I know.
Undisputedly,
well,
Timu
is that
Puki
your
is, the
is that your stance? Is that your stance?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, I love Denny Buonga, but Timu Puki, like, you just love saying it. It's so good. It's many things.
That's true.
It's a soccer player.
I was shocked.
It's a Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's a hockey player. Like,
it's like a Samoan pro wrestler.
We got to do another round of MLS player or Pokemon this year.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun to do.
It's a necklace you used to wear in eighth grade that, like, girls thought you looked great in it.
Timu Puki, what's nice about Timu Puki is both the first and last name could be a Pokemon. It's not just the last name. Both could be a Pokemon. All right, let's move on to the next one. I think we all agree.
Guys, would you rather go to a concert with Bob Dylan, Prince, and the Replacements, or Kendrick Lamar, the Beach Boys, and Rage Against the Machine?
The second one.
The second one? Jackson, what about you?
The first one.
The first one. Which one of those names do you like the best?
The Beach Boy.
Jackson, what about you?
The Wiz Rest Band.
Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah.
Can you try one more?
No, maybe I like the Wiz Team.
Rage Against the Machine? Yeah, maybe you do?
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice.
I do like it.
They eventually agree, Rage Against the Machine.
So it was
headlining that show.
It was Bob Dylan, Prince, and the Replacements versus Kendrick Lamar, the Beach Boys, and Rage Against the Machine, right?
Yeah, what show are you going to?
Which Bob Dylan we talking about?
I've also
Pre-electric, maybe?
Yeah, I've seen Bob Dylan in the past like decade, and it was interesting.
I saw him,
and fantastic.
I saw him in
all,
like Irvine.
All acts in their prime.
Okay. I mean, you have to go with Prince then. Like, I don't know. I think Bob Dylan, it's like, it would be cool to see Bob Dylan live, but not like at the same concert as Prince. Very different vibes we're going for.
Yeah, these are weird concerts.
Well, yeah, and do the Beach Boys open for Kendrick Lamar, or is Rage closing that show? Like, how are we doing this?
I like, as a concert, the second one would be a better lineup. Like, I'm like, I would want to see those three together. Sure. And I think the Replacements are holding them down a little bit in Minnesota. The Replacements are great, but that's not in they're not in the same league as these other guys we're talking about.
Sure.
At least in terms of, like, I know maybe three Replacement songs, whereas like I feel like I could name a dozen of all the other people's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, my favorite band is from Minnesota, but they're way less popular. The Hold Steady is from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
No one likes them. Don't listen to them. You'll think I suck. I'm going with the LA one. I think as a concert, it's better.
Okay.
Jackson had Prince, Bob Dylan. And so I think I'm on Team Jackson here. I want to go to the LA one as much as, like, look, I like Rage Against the Machine, but it's just like Prince and Bob Dylan. Like, you've already, like Travis was saying, like, you kind of already won. Like, and the Beach Boys is another one where it's like, which Beach Boys am I getting?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
The record's
still going right now. There's just all different people.
Yeah. Do I even want the Beach Boy that is like pro Trump and anti-vaccine? Do I want that Beach Boy? I don't know.
The Beach Boys are like Grey's Anatomy. It's just like they just keep cycling out who they are, but the name stays the same.
Yeah, there's enough connective tissue at the end points to keep it going.
But if
yeah.
the Beach Boys have Stamos playing drums.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I will say that there's a non-zero chance that someone from Rage Against the Machine listens to this podcast, because multiple members of the band are fans of LAFC. So we have to go with Rage Against the Machine just in case.
Well, I genuinely would. I'll say that. That's definitely my stance.
I also, when I first started going to games, I didn't like them playing Guerrilla Radio when we scored, and now I like it. It's Guerrilla Radio, right? Where we play? Yeah.
Yeah.
It grew on me. But it felt like performatively aggro, but now I'm like, LA thing, now it's a tradition. I like it now. I get excited about hearing it.
Yeah, all right. Which is how it's supposed to become like kind of organic and just grow on you, and you love it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be cold in Minnesota. Do you think LAFC is gonna rise to the challenge because they got practice when they played in the snow?
Yes.
Or do you think that they will be traumatized? Do you think that they'll play well in the cold?
No.
Jackson, what do you think? Do you think that they'll play well in the cold?
Yeah.
Isla says no. Jackson says yes. What do you think?
I'm gonna. I mean, I hope LAFC does well, but I'm gonna go with Isla because clearly she knows the history, and LAFC doesn't play very well in Minnesota, regardless of cold or warm. And I think she's been studying up, so I'm gonna go with Isla there.
I think I'm gonna go with Isla as well. I think, you know, we don't like it when it's in the middle of the summer in Texas, and we don't like it when it's sort of the winter in the north part of the country. We like it when it's 75 and sunny, and that's good for the majority of the games we play, because half are at home and then most are in the summer, so it's not usually that bad. But when we play in harsher conditions, we don't give our best. So I'm going to go with Isla and say no.
We're not doing well on this, by the way. LAFC is not the choice almost every time. Okay.
I like Minneapolis. I've been there, I think, twice now. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool city.
I'm terrified of the cold, but anyone who I've ever spoken to who has lived there loved it.
They have tunnels that connect, not tunnels, bridges that are covered that connect the buildings. So in the winter, you don't have to walk outside. I thought that was really cool. It's like the city's a big mall. Which is good. We like that.
Also, like, that's where Mall of America is, isn't it?
I think so. Or Minnesota. Yes.
Yes. So the city's a big mall, and then inside that mall is the biggest mall.
Yes.
Great. Minnesota has been playing the high press lately, just like LAFC. Which team do you think will be more successful pressing and keeping their back line tight? LAFC or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Jackson, what do you think?
LSC.
Okay.
LSC.
LSC.
I think, as much as I don't think they've been good at distributing, our back line has been relatively tight. I'm going to say we'll have the stronger back line.
I'm going with LAFC. I'm gonna probably side with Jackson just because LAFC's been doing it longer and Minnesota's kind of newer to this. Doesn't mean I think that they'll be better in the game per se, but I think in terms of knowing their game plan, LAFC should be better. So Jackson's willing them on to like be like, come on guys, you got this.
How many goals will LAFC score?
Five.
Jackson says five. Isla, you say what? What number is that?
Just five and just three. Just one and just one and just one.
LAFC is going to score what? Four?
Yeah, and this is going to be...
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Is going to score what?
Two.
So you think it'll be 4-2 LAFC?
Yeah.
Jackson, what do you think? How many will LAFC score?
Five.
And how many will Minnesota score?
Three.
Three? Okay. Isla predicts 4-2 LAFC. Jackson predicts 5-3 LAFC.
Wow.
What are your final score predictions?
That's fun.
I love how optimistic they are, and especially coming off a 0-0, we're just going to see lots of goals. I'm going to go with neither. I can't see a 4-2 or 5-3 game. I don't know. This game feels like a 2-1-er. Where it's like just like LAFC maybe ties it up 1-1 and then we get disappointed at the end. It's just, I don't know, just that's what Minnesota feels like to me whenever we go there.
I'm gonna counteract what I said earlier about us not playing well in the cold and say I'm confident we're gonna win 5-3. The score will be 5-3, and I know for a fact that will be the score.
All right.
And that's Jackson's prediction, right?
Yes.
All right, so we're taking Jackson to Vegas.
All right.
Well, that was...
real information to use.
That was Twin Children taking on Twin Cities. When we come back, we're going to make some bets.
And we're back. Now it's time for a segment called Bet It and Forget It.
Bet It and Forget It.
Every week we end the show with a bet for this week's game. We make an outlandish prediction, something that almost definitely will not happen, but good. Each week, Travis and I put up $5, and if no one hits, the money rolls over to the next week. Eventually, by the time someone's weird prediction comes true, they might win a good chunk of change. None of our bets cashed last week, so our bet pool for this week is now $20? No,
right?
$30.
This will be our fourth game, so it'll be $40. Yeah, you're right.
$40.
And Vince has no skin in the game. So
we were begrudgingly going to take it out of my paycheck, which,
oh, right.
Guys, it's not even that big of a paycheck.
Yeah, if we took it out of your paycheck, somehow you would owe us money still.
Send it back.
I have a prediction that I'm very – well, what was my prediction last week? I don't remember.
I just remember you were so confident in it.
Yeah.
It seems like something you remember.
Oh, it was that Martinez would debut and score, and we got very close to that happening.
Yeah.
We got really close to that happening. He was one-on-one with the keeper.
We each had an unlikely goal scorer
in
predictions last week.
And no one scored.
That's right.
Classic. So maybe let's not pick people scoring this week.
Well, I have a prediction I'm very confident about this week.
Okay.
And normally I'm not feeling confident. I'm feeling really confident about this one. This week, on camera, we're going to see Team Security Paul tackle someone. Team Security Paul's going to take someone down on camera. And I don't know if it's someone on our team. I don't know if it's a fan. I don't know. It could be if Team Security Paul's listening to this, it wants to give me $40 and tackle someone. He can do that. I'm just saying on camera, we're going to see Team Security Paul take someone down.
Yeah, he's going to one-up Messi's security guard. I love it.
Equally buff.
I don't know what the statute of limitations on this is, but I made a bet the first week that Hugo Lloris would get an assist. And
right.
I think that's going to be a bet that I go back to numerous times throughout the season. And I can't help myself. I need to go back to it now.
Okay. Right. Well, I'll just say though, we're going to limit you to one out of every three games using that because
I think that's fair.
Part of this is random.
I'll even take like less of the pot. If it's off the bet that I always make.
No. I think if you can time it right, it's fine. It's just because we know we can all see it happening. I think the fact that he's gotten close already.
Oh,
so as long as you're not. Go ahead.
No, this should be an element of the game. The unlikeliness of this has changed. So the bet needs to accommodate that.
Well, as long as
I'm going to say, I'm going to say he will get an assist and a clean sheet.
Okay. Oh, great.
Oh, okay.
Great.
A little parlay there. I'm going to pick something that I can't remember the last time LAFC did this. I think LAFC will score a direct free kick goal. Not a corner, not a penalty, not an indirect kick goal, which would have been awesome if they scored that in the last game.
Yeah.
But just a direct free kick goal. I think with Atuesta on the team, like, we're primed to get one. And I feel like without him and with Carlos, I remember last year Carlos hit a lot of crossbars. Like, he hit a lot of good ones, but didn't put one in. And I don't think anyone.
Do you count the one where Vela passed it and Bowanga hit it? Because it was a direct. No. So it has to be the person kicking
right off that person's foot. Yep. Okay. Yep. That would be my caveat.
Yeah. I don't know if we had one last year. Because who else would have taken it? Acosta?
They're down around the world. Like, those type of goals don't happen as often. Maybe just goalkeeping better or whatever, for whatever reason. But LAFC,
goalkeeping better.
Goalkeeping better.
Goalkeeping honestly better. Can't remember. Kicking bad.
That's what Hugo just says to his head in his head when he gives up a goal. He just goes, goalkeeping better.
Goalkeeping better.
we didn't talk about on that indirect kick. We didn't talk about when you guys were growing up and that happened. I remember, did you guys do this? I remember the strategy was always
You tap it and run away.
What?
Someone goes up and touches the top of it with their foot, and then the other person comes and kicks it.
Oh, yes. Through. Oh, maybe there's at least one team I played on where the strategy was always to just kick it as hard as you possibly can right at the goalie.
Yes.
I love
that. And you hope that it bounces in.
Well, ours always in high school was to like look at the wall and find the guy that looked like he least wanted to be there and then kick it at his face. Like, and just see what happens.
That's great. That's really smart.
That's amazing.
Yeah, those indirect free kicks were always scary because it like that's when people had like set plays and shit. It's it like felt like basketball when that was happening.
Right. And the real scary part is just what you said, Travis. Like, a guy touches the ball, and once that happens, like, it's live. So you get like defenders that just go like heat seeking missiles and throw their body, and that's when you get real chaos. And that's why it's the most exciting play. I was hoping for a little bit more, but like it seemed like when we did it, both teams were like, "Wait, you touched the ball? Like, what do you?" You didn't even wait for us.
Yeah.
Like, even Bwongo wasn't ready.
It was like, I forgot that when that foot tap thing happened, the wall would sprint at the ball. That was so funny. what an inelegant sport we played in America. Like, we didn't teach anything besides that shit because we were like, that's the part that's like football that we get.
imagine if we won a World Cup that way. Just imagine.
I would love for us to win a World Cup. But that's where we can end it. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you guys, but I want the United States to win a World Cup.
No, I guess I agree.
I'd be pro.
Yeah, we're hot take on
this. That's our show.
That's our show. Our theme music is done. Darren, I love saying by the insane team of have we said it this year who these people are? The insane team of James Valentine, the guitarist of Maroon 5, Nate Walcott, the trumpet player for Bright Eyes, and Louis Palmer, one of the best jazz drummers in America. You can subscribe. They did it for us, and it was very nice, and I don't know why, but we use it every show. Thank you to all of them. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, where all episodes and clips are available in video form at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. And if you review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify 5 stars, it really helps new people find the show. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. And if you made it this far into the episode, chances are you're enjoying the show. And if that's true and you want to show your support, please consider becoming a friend of the Foot at $5 a month at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot. We're also going to have a giveaway this week. I'll post about it on Twitter, but I might have fallen into an extra authentic new kit. Nothing on the back. It could be yours for free. We're going to give it away to a patron, someone who subscribes to the Patreon. It's got to be a paid Patreon subscriber. We'll give it away sometime this week. We'll figure out what it is on Twitter and we'll post about it. But if you want to win a kit, you think of how many months you'd have to give us $5 to pay off the kit you would win. It's an authentic. It's like $180. That's a lot of months you'd have to give us $5.
Did it fall off a truck or what happened here?
This isn't how I got it, but I did. I told these guys when I went to get my Bogush jersey made at headquarters, they spelled Bogush wrong. It took 45 minutes anyways because there was a person in front of me. And then when I finally got the kit, they forgot the S in Bogush and it just said Bogush. And I was walking out and I was like, do I just keep it? What do I say? Do I say something? And I thought about keeping it, but I decided to go back and I got them to redo it. But I also, it doesn't matter. I have another one and I'm stupid and paid for two. But I am going to give it away because I don't need the second one to one of our patrons to say thank you. And if you don't want one, if you don't want to risk it and you just want some Happyfoot Sappho inspired merch, we keep saying more is coming, but more is coming. Head on over to happyfootsadfootpod.com. All of our patrons get a, I think, 15% discount on all of our merch, which makes some of it very affordable and to the point where we barely make money on it. Any support really goes a long way to keeping the show going and the community growing. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the live stream. I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Bye. I love you.
I'm still undecided.
It is. We got to talk about what makes you uncomfortable about it, but that's for another day.
Anything else that you think will happen in the LAFC match?
Running.
Running? Jackson, what do you think will happen?
Running.
Also running. Jackson, anything that you want to say before you go? You want to say, go LAFC?
Go LAFC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.